Podcasting from the Garden State, welcome to another edition of the New Jersey Legal Update, presented by Stark & Stark, a 100-attorney law firm with offices in Princeton, Cherry Hill, Philadelphia, and New York. The New Jersey Legal Update is a weekly podcast providing the latest information on legal developments impacting those living or doing business in New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Steve Friedman. I'm a shareholder with the law firm of Stark & Stark. I'm head of the Trust and Estates Department. My area of practice is Trust and Estates and Elder Law. I'm a certified elder law attorney and an accredited estate planner. It's common for people to ask why they should engage in having an estate plan done. Certainly there are computer programs out there to prepare wills, trusts, powers of attorney. I mean, some of those programs are actually very good. I would counsel people that the reason to have an estate plan completed, whether it's by yourself or with an attorney, is because it gives you the right to choose to control your assets, to control your personal and financial decisions in the event you become incapacitated, in the event of your death. The first reason that people want to or should want to control those kinds of decisions has to do with what we refer to as the fiduciaries. Who is going to control your financial decisions when you can't? And for most of us, we are able to pay our bills, make investment decisions on our own, but there may come a time when, because of some medical or condition or because of an accident or injury, we're unable to do that on our own. In that situation, somebody's going to take over for us, and the state law, the state that you live in, decides who that person is or who those people are, unless you choose to exercise control and make a selection, identify those people, and sign documents necessary to give those people the authority to make decisions for you. We think of that typically in the role of somebody as your power of attorney, but there are other ways to empower people to make decisions for you. There are also different kinds of decisions that are made. There are financial decisions like investment decisions, decisions regarding payment of bills, regarding whether your house is to be sold if you become incompetent or if you die. There are also decisions regarding your personal choices, regarding your medical care. Do you want to be maintained on life support if you are in a vegetative state? Documents such as healthcare powers of attorney, living wills, advance directives, proxy directives, and these vary from state to state. They generally, though, provide a mechanism for you to direct who is going to make those decisions for you in the event you can't, and also to declare your intentions as to what you would want to have happen under certain medical circumstances. The third area where it's important to designate a fiduciary is if you have minor or disabled children, to designate someone to be their legal guardian if you're no longer able to take on that role as a parent. The other reason people should take the time to prepare an estate plan or to have an estate plan done is because you have the right to decide who gets what you have when you're gone. And state law, again, in virtually every state, has a preordained set of instructions as to what happens to your assets if you die. You can just accept that, and if we don't have a will, for people that don't have wills, they do accept whatever the default state law is, or you can make the choice and you get to decide who you want things left to. Sometimes even more important than that is for beneficiaries with special needs, like minor children, but also beneficiaries who have trouble managing money, beneficiaries who have other kinds of difficulty, whether it be alcoholism, drug addiction, psychiatric issues, or beneficiaries who get into financial trouble, such as through bankruptcy, or beneficiaries who are going through a divorce. For those kinds of beneficiaries, it's important to that you can put something in place for them to protect the inheritance for them in a way that they can't protect on their own. So if you leave assets to a beneficiary outright in their own name, or you designate a beneficiary of a life insurance policy or of an IRA, the beneficiary, whoever that is, will have complete control of those assets when they are 18 years old. If they're under 18, there'll be a legal guardian who will have control, but once they turn 18, they have control of those assets. And the beneficiary, a beneficiary who has special needs like that, is someone that we need to give consideration for and to determine what we can do to protect that money for them. Once it's in their hands, they it's basically up to them to decide whether and how they want to protect the assets, but their choices are limited. Your choices when you leave them money is not are not limited. You're virtually unrestricted in how you leave assets to a beneficiary and how you restrict or protect those assets for them. Even for adult beneficiaries who are completely competent and mature and able to take care of their affairs, ongoing trusts for the rest of their lives still sometimes are a good idea, because assets that are in a trust for a beneficiary, even if the beneficiary has significant control over the trust assets, are still going to be protected in the event of a bankruptcy, in the event of a divorce, or in the event the beneficiary gets sued. And sometimes even more significantly, the assets will escape taxation when that beneficiary passes on, and the assets go to the beneficiary's heirs. So ongoing trusts, again, are another way of enhancing the value for your beneficiaries of creating an estate plan. And then the third reason, and for many people it's the reason that they go to see an attorney, but it's really, in my judgment, probably the least important of the reasons to prepare an estate plan, is to try to preserve the assets or maximize the inheritance for a beneficiary. There are two general threats to your assets that occur between the time you own them and they get to your beneficiary. The one many people think of is estate tax or inheritance tax, and there is a tax in a federal tax and state tax in many states, actually in most states, that will tax the value of assets that you transfer to your beneficiaries at varying varying degrees. The inheritance taxes sometimes tax the assets at different rates depending on who the beneficiaries are. The federal tax, which has pretty significant exemptions these days, the exemption is changing. It's right now $2 million. But in 2011, it's going to drop down to $1 million. What happens between now and then is anybody's guess, and it's a political issue that's well beyond the scope of this podcast. So we have to wait and see. But right now, the law is that in 4.5 years, the federal exemption will be $1 million. The state exemption in many states is actually lower than that. And so taxes are one consideration. The other, and a consideration for many seniors, is the threat to their assets of the need for long-term care or nursing home care. And the problem is that the government has enacted laws that prevent folks from becoming eligible for governmental assistance to pay for that care unless you have no assets. And so many people enter into programs to transfer their assets to their children in order to protect them from the need to pay to use those assets to pay for their nursing care. Is that a good idea? Well, for some people it is, for some people it isn't. What is not a good idea is making decisions based on the advice of friends or neighbors to transfer somebody, your house to a child, or to transfer assets to a child. Everything should be done as part of an overall plan to determine what is the greatest threat and what and how to best address that threat. The bottom line is that there are lots of reasons for having an estate plan done, and the reasons are different for everyone. For some people, people with small children, the driving reason may be to protect their children. For people with lots of assets, the driving reason may be the tax motivation. For folks who are concerned about the rising cost of long-term care or nursing care, the driving force may be a concern to try to protect those assets. For some people, it's trying to protect assets for a beneficiary who is disabled, who has a developmental disability, or who has some sort of emotional or other type of problem that prevents the beneficiary from dealing competently with those assets. And so for everyone, the reason is different, but they're really all the same. And it has to do with control, controlling your future, and controlling what happens to your family and your loved ones in the event you're no longer able to care for them, and making choices so that the choices are yours, not those imposed on you by the state legislature or by the federal, by our Congress. So as the reasons are different, the reasons are really all the same. The most significant piece of advice I can offer is that when giving up control of your assets while you're still living, or control of any decision while you're still living, that it be done as a choice. Many times we see seniors who are being asked by their children to divest themselves or to give up all of their assets while they're still healthy and vibrant and able to take care of themselves, because it might need to be used to pay for nursing care, and they want to try to protect those assets. And again, that may be the right answer, but it shouldn't be a knee-jerk reaction to an unknown fear. And it really should be, you should not give up control, you should not give up ownership of your assets unless what you get in return is worth it to you. And you don't know what that is unless you evaluate the options. There are long-term care insurance options. There are life insurance options, even in the tax area. So giving up control, giving up ownership of assets, giving up control of your decisions regarding your financial and personal matters is something that you should not take lightly, and that's something you should not do unless you've made a conscious choice to, after evaluating all the options, that it is worth what you get in return for it. And once you've made that decision, once you have determined that that it is worth that choice, then don't make transfers, don't make decisions in a vacuum. Make those decisions as part of a comprehensive plan involving all of your financial professionals, involving your accountant, involving your stockbroker, your financial advisors, your attorney, so that everyone knows what's going on, and you're not doing things in a vacuum. The most significant mistake that we see people make is making decisions regarding their finances, such as transferring a house to a child, transferring a bank account to a child, putting accounts into joint name, and doing that in isolated instances and in a vacuum without doing it as part of a comprehensive plan. If anybody would like more information, you're free to contact me. My email address is S, as in Stephen, Friedman, FRIEDMAN, at stark-stark.com, or you can call me at 609-895-7268. That's my direct line. Thanks for listening, and I wish you the best of luck, and if we can do anything to help, please let us know.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's installment of the New Jersey Legal Update by Stark & Stark. And be sure to join us each and every Friday for another insightful discussion. We'd like to hear from you. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information about Stark & Stark and the services we provide, email us at podcast@stark-stark.com.